Invitation to the Thirsty. The reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 55, beginning at verse 1. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Beginning at verse 4, and it can be found on page 1002 in the Bibles in the pews. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt round his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven: you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Minds be open to you this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So what do we need as human beings fundamentally to survive? I mean physically. Would that be food? Cake? Seems to be coming up a lot lately in things I've been at. Love? Maybe air? For some, maybe their mobile phones they don't think they can live without. Maybe water. A balance of everything, of course, is good. They say everything in moderation, of course. But as our bodies are made up of 60% water, I'm going to argue here that without water, we won't survive for very long. And I'm sure if there's any medics here among us, you can tell us exactly how long it is that we can survive without water. But without it, we don't function very well. Water keeps us hydrated, helps us carry oxygen, aids digestion, regulates body temperature, and helps our brains work effectively, and so much more. Google's great, isn't it? I haven't just swallowed a medical dictionary at all. Water is essential to our well-being. And our bodies are very clever things. We have built-in mechanisms that tell us what it is our bodies need. Our skin becomes dry when we don't have enough water. And our brains aren't as quick to react. We don't think straight, do we? And we become thirsty. We sense thirst because our bodies need water. It's our body's way of telling us that we need water. And for us in this country, we don't have any trouble going to the tap and getting clear running water. We turn on the tap, we can buy bottled water, we can filter our water, we can flavour our water. And perhaps we take it for granted that we can just get water whenever we need it. This passage from Isaiah that we heard this evening opens up with, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters." Thirsty, then come to the waters. An invitation to come. All of you who are thirsty. In fact, the whole of those 11 verses are an invitation given, an invitation received, and an invitation accepted. An invitation is useless, really, unless we follow all three of these stages: given, received, and accepted. There are stages in life where invitations seem to come thick and fast, and other times when perhaps they don't. New Year's parties when we were in our teens seemed to involve an awful lot of dressing up, and to my dread, another fancy dress party at New Year. I never knew what it was to dress up in. 18th, 21st, friends getting married, often followed by children being baptised. And then when our own children started primary school, weekend after weekend seemed to be driving them to more parties, buying more presents, just a taxi service that we provided. Each invitation that was sent, we received, and it required us to make a response, accept it or not, and then, of course, to turn up or not. This invitation in Isaiah was to come, all who are thirsty. Come to the waters, these waters that are essential to life. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. An invitation so freely given, the response is simply to come. No dressing up, no gift required, just come as you are, thirsty, in need of sustenance. You have a need, and the invitation is for us to step forward and receive it at no cost to ourselves. a free and gracious invitation to us all. This passage has often been described as gospel grace, outpoured, freely given to us who need it. Does the world recognize the need for this free and gracious invitation? Do we even know that we are thirsty for this gift? Or has this thirst been quenched momentarily by other stuff? Expecting the summer to bring an end to darkness, a glass of wine or maybe a bottle to lift our spirits, food to make us feel better, holidays to refresh us, spending or having money, or even expecting other people to fulfill our every need. Mark spoke on Thursday night about us needing to care for our physical health and for our mental health. And it's not difficult to find places to tell us what it is we need to do, what diet we need to go on, what we need to do to support others. It may not always be easy to access it, but we know what it is that we should be doing. You turn the TV on and it tells you not to feed your children too much sugar. It's out there, it tells us. But do we recognize that we have a need, that the world has a need for spiritual well-being? The invitation has been given. Can we even believe that we actually have this invitation and that all we have to do is to respond, not pay for it, not earn it, and that it will fill even more than our thirst? It will fill our hunger too. And not just with the basics, but with abundance, with wine and milk and to eat and to delight in the richest of fare. The famous painting, The Light of the World by William Holman Hunt, inspired by the passage from John's Gospel, I am the light of the world, is a picture of Christ standing at a door holding a lantern. The door is said to represent the human soul, which cannot be opened from the outside, from the side that Christ is on. There's no handle on this door, and the rusty hinges and the ivy growing implies that the door hasn't been opened for a very long time, if at all. And Jesus is standing there waiting to enter. The words beneath the picture are taken from Revelation 3. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. In this picture, the invitation is from one standing at the door, not forcing his way in, but waiting for a response from the one who hears his voice. The invitation is that he will come in and eat with them if they open that door. Not just the provision of a physical need of food and water, but far beyond that, an ongoing personal relationship. I will come and eat with that person and they with me. The invitation in Isaiah pointing towards the coming Christ, fulfilled throughout the Gospels, where Jesus eats with those seen as the least worthy to eat with. And here in Revelation, the invitation is simply open the door and he will come and eat. He will eat with you, however unworthy you may feel. And there's no need for elaborate preparations. There's no mention of the fact that you have to have the right tablecloth, the cutlery in the right place, the right food. Making sure that everything is just right isn't even mentioned there. Just as you are, open that door. I think it's amazing that that door handle is on our side. We are entirely in control over whether we open that door and let him in. Where if we do, Together, we can sit and do something as ordinary, yet as spectacular and personal as eating together. And it is here that he will provide that meal, the water of life, the bread of life, all that we need to sustain us. In verses 2 and 3, it says, "Listen, listen to me. Give ear and listen to me that you may live." Have we heard that invitation? Do we have ears to listen? Do we hear it daily? Do we spend time listening to God? What is it he's inviting you into, or perhaps deeper into? Not into a physical space, but an invitation, as verse 3 tells us, into an everlasting covenant with you. A covenant, a promise, an agreement that is everlasting. The Israelites broke their side of the covenant with God, worshipping idols and not obeying God's commandments. But God didn't break his side. And through Jesus, all who truly repent are forgiven. We have been drawn back into that covenant if we choose to accept it. A covenant is binding, as marriage is a covenant, an agreement of two sides. But this one's almost too good to be true. A promise of faithful love. When we come to God, his grace, his goodness, his mercy, just as water is poured out over us. And what have we been asked to do so far? To come, to buy without money, to eat, to listen, and to enjoy. Which bit of that is it that we struggle with? Is it being distant and having to step forward? Is it that to accept this gift that we have freely given to invite Jesus in daily into our life? Is it the acceptance? Is it to actually eat and not to just be an observer looking on at a banquet? Or is it the listening? Are we afraid we will be asked to do something beyond where we feel able? Here we come to the promise that God is far bigger than our thoughts or our ways, higher than our ways. This is faith and trust. When we begin to trust beyond our own understanding, that the God who spoke to Isaiah can do in each of our lives immeasurably more than we can ever imagine, then we're living by faith. Then we are accepting the invitation into a life lived with God in control. Not one where we keep God in a nicely packed up box, getting him out when we need him, when it suits us, but an everyday adventure with God in the driving seat. The water that I spoke of at the beginning of the passage of this evening, this water that is life-giving, described at the end of the passage, coming down from heaven as snow and rain, it doesn't go back up. It stays and it waters the earth and all that's in it. Water that yields a crop. We cannot live without water, and crops cannot grow without water. God is a God who has supplied and continues to supply and cares about us all. He cares about us all that he's persistent enough to believe that his word will not return empty, but will accomplish and achieve the purpose it was sent. And today in the church, we've celebrated and remembered the baptism of Christ. John the Baptist, who had gone before him, before Jesus, baptized with water. But Jesus baptized in the Spirit and would do the same to those who came to him. Baptism, the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and for those who are baptized in the church, signifying the beginning of their walk of faith with God. The living water we are invited to come and drink of. That water, that spirit that dwells in us, when we hear and receive and accept that invitation in our lives. The invitation is for all to turn to him and receive what is freely on offer, and to accept that our lives can and will be transformed daily through it. No fancy dress required, no expensive presents required, just simply to come as you are and open that door. Amen.